Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Today, Friday, March 31st, is the feast of Saint Balbina of Rome, Virgin and Martyr. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis is expected to be released from hospital tomorrow following a bout of bronchitis. Guatemala's bishops have denounced the dire conditions of migrants and refugees who are held in migrant processing centers. And Finland is set to join the NATO military alliance after Turkey approved its membership application. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Good news today from the Holy See Press Office. Pope Francis is expected to preside at the Palm Sunday Mass this weekend in St. Peter's Square. The director of the Holy See Press Office, Matteo Bruni, conveyed the good news in an update on the Pope's recovery from his respiratory infection. In his statement, Bruni explained that the Holy Father is scheduled to return home to Casa Santa Marta on Saturday morning. Deborah Castellano-Lubov has the latest on Pope Francis.
On Friday, the director of the Holy See Press Office, Matteo Bruni, said as Pope Francis is scheduled to leave Rome's Gemelli Hospital tomorrow, the Pope is expected to be present in St. Peter's Square for the Eucharistic celebration of Palm Sunday, the Passion of the Lord. In an earlier statement Friday morning, Mr. Bruni updated the press on the Pope's condition, saying that yesterday went well with a normal clinical course for Pope Francis. In the evening, he shared Pope Francis had dinner, eating pizza, together with those who are assisting him during these days of his hospital stay. With the Holy Father were the doctors, nurses, assistants, and staff of the gendarmerie. The Holy See Press Office director added that this morning, after having breakfast, the Holy Father read some newspapers and resumed work. His Holiness, the statement concluded, is expected to return to Casa Santa Marta, his residence, upon the outcome of the results of the last examinations. In a Thursday evening statement, Bruni conveyed that doctors at the Gemelli Hospital, where the Pope was admitted on Wednesday afternoon, said he had been diagnosed with viral bronchitis that requires the administration of an antibiotic therapy administered by infusion. In that statement, Bruni conveyed information received from the medical staff treating the Pope at the hospital and said that following the results of the planned clinical checkups, it was found that the Holy Father was affected by a viral bronchitis that requires the administration of antibiotics that resulted in a marked improvement in his state of health. Pope Francis has expressed his deep gratitude for all the prayers and best wishes that have poured in for him from church and world leaders, diplomats, and all the faithful around the world. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
In news from the Americas, shining the spotlight on the dire conditions of migrants and refugees detained in migrant processing centers, the Catholic bishops of Guatemala have appealed to the governments of origin, of transit, and of destination of those on the move to enforce policies that promote development and respect the laws and agreements in force. As Linda Bordoni reports, their statement comes in the wake of a deadly fire in northern Mexico, where at least 39 migrants lost their lives.
Reacting to comments issued by Mexican authorities who have pledged to deliver justice for the men killed in a fire at a migrant holding center in Ciudad Juarez this week, the Catholic bishops of Guatemala cried out, "Enough with the euphemisms. Immigration stations are not shelters but detention centres where the human rights of people in forced mobility are violated. At least 39 migrants from Guatemala and other Central American nations were killed and 28 others were injured on Monday when they were unable to exit the blazing centre where their requests for asylum in the US were being processed. Upon hearing of the tragedy, Pope Francis immediately asked for prayers for the dead migrants and their families. In their statement, the bishops of the Pastoral Care of Human Mobility section of the Episcopal Conference expressed solidarity and indignation for the accident. As we have said more than once, they noted, Guatemala has the primary obligation to fulfill and enforce the rights of male and female citizens to remain in their country in dignified conditions and in accordance with their rights. Failing to comply with this responsibility, they added, Guatemala, and especially the officials on duty, are co-responsible for the events that occurred in the fire at the immigration station in Mexico. they forcefully condemned what they described as the abandonment and inaction of the states of origin, transit, and destination involved. The prelates renewed their commitment to accompany people in forced mobility and said they are crying out to God to enlighten governments and help to transform indignation and impotence into concrete and permanent actions of solidarity, which respond to the request for a dignified life for the thousands of people who are forced to seek better living conditions. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Staying in the Americas, hopes are fading for those trapped by a mudslide in Ecuador, with 7 people already confirmed dead and more than 60 others still regarded as missing. James Blears has this report.
Rescue teams working around the clock have already pulled 30 people out of the cloying mud and are still sifting and digging. The mudslide from the hillside looming above the town of Aluusi happened on Sunday after months of constant torrential rain. Perhaps coincidentally, it happened just days after an earthquake on the southern coast which killed 7 people. Locals had been warning authorities for some time about the potential of a landslide because of the saturated earth, which was becoming ever more dangerous and unstable. Locals who witnessed this disaster said there was a whooshing sound followed by a terrible silence. Ecuador's president Guillermo Lasso's reached the affected area and is promising that everything that can be done will be done, saying, "You're not alone, we're with you." An investigation which is already underway will determine why repeated warnings fell on deaf ears as local roads were closed after huge fault line cracks appeared in them. The danger was staring those who could see it in the face. For Vatican Radio, James Blears reporting.
Turning it to Africa, prosecutors in Senegal, who had sought 2 years in prison for opposition leader Ousmane Sonko, have filed an appeal after he was given a much lighter 2-month suspended sentence for his conviction on libel charges. His supporters say that case was politically motivated. The outcome of Thursday's verdict allows Sonko to run for president next year, though he still faces unrelated criminal charges in a pending rape case that would disqualify him if he is convicted. Meanwhile, at least 14 workers have died and some 20 other miners were injured after a gold mine collapsed in northern Sudan. The fatal collapse happened after one of the hillsides that surround the Jebel al-Ahmar gold mine, situated near the Egyptian border, subsided on Thursday afternoon. In Asia, in India, 36 people have been killed and another 16 injured in an incident at a Hindu temple in the central state of Madhya Pradesh. Joseph Tulloch has this report.
Worshippers at a Hindu temple were standing on a concrete slab over a deep well when it gave way under their weight, plunging them down a 40-foot or about 12-meter shaft. The incident occurred on Thursday night in the central Indian city of Indore. The victims had gathered at the temple for the Hindu festival of Ramanavami. Stepwells, which combine a deep shaft with stairs descending to water level, are found across India. Most are centuries old. The stepwell was covered, but the slab covering it collapsed because of the crowd and the extra load on it. The chief minister of Madhya Pradesh, the state where the temple is located, told journalists. Police have reportedly brought a case of culpable homicide, not amounting to murder, although no arrests have been made so far. According to local media, soldiers and other rescue personnel worked throughout the night to rescue survivors. Prime Minister Narendra Modi said on Twitter that he was extremely pained by the incident, adding that his prayers would be with those affected and their families. Ramanavami, which the victims had gathered in the temple to celebrate, is a Hindu festival commemorating the birth of Lord Ram, the 7th avatar of the deity Vishnu. Hindus celebrate by praying, fasting, and singing devotional songs. I'm Joseph Tulloch.
In neighboring Pakistan, at least 11 people were killed in a deadly stampede at a Ramadan food distribution center in Pakistan's southern port city of Karachi on Friday. The stampede occurred when hundreds of people panicked and started pushing each other to collect food outside of a factory. In Europe, Finland is set to join the NATO military alliance after Turkey's parliament voted to approve its application for membership on Friday. But as regional correspondent Stefan Boss reports, Sweden's bid to join the military alliance continues to be delayed.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg says Finland will become the alliance's 31st member after Turkey's parliament voted unanimously in favor of the Nordic country's membership.
I welcome the vote by the Turkish Grand National Assembly to ratify Finland's membership in NATO. All 30 NATO allies have now ratified the accession protocol. And I have just spoken with President Sauli Niinistö to congratulate him on this historic occasion. Finland will formally join our alliance in the coming days.
With Finland joining, Russia failed in its attempt to prevent a further extension of NATO. Finland shares a 1,309 kilometers or 813 miles border with Russia. Finland ended its neutrality and sought to join NATO, citing security concerns after Russia's invasion of Ukraine in February last year. Yet Turkey and Hungary have declined to approve Sweden's application. Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan claims Sweden protects terrorists, but rights activists say they are peaceful political opponents of the Turkish leader. Earlier this week, Hungary's parliament also approved Finland's bid, but it refused to immediately back Sweden's membership. Budapest and the ruling Fidesz party have accused Sweden of spreading lies about Hungary's perceived lack of rule of law and democratic credentials. However, Stoltenberg remains hopeful that Sweden will join too.
All allies agree that the rapid conclusion of the ratification process for Sweden will be in everyone's interests. I look forward to also welcoming Sweden as a full member of the NATO family as soon as possible.
Sweden still hopes to enter NATO, but its foreign minister fears his country may not be able to join by July when the alliance gathers for a summit in Vilnius. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos in Budapest.
Finally, the Synod of Bishops of the Coptic Catholic Patriarchate of Alexandria has elected two new hierarchs. Father Thomas Faragalla will be consecrated bishop of the Eparchy of Alcusia, while Father Ayub Aknuk will be ordained bishop of the Eparchy of Asyut. Father Faragalla is currently a bishop's assistant in the Eparchy of Asyut, as well as parish priest of its cathedral, while Father Aknuk is currently director of the Eparchy of Asyut's Office of Human Development. There have been Christians in Egypt since the first century. According to tradition, it was the Apostle Mark himself who brought the faith to the country. Once a majority of the population, Egypt's Coptic Orthodox Church now accounts for about 10% of the population. In the modern era, some Coptic Orthodox believers came into communion with Rome, forming the Coptic Catholic Church. There are 10 Coptic Catholic eparchies or dioceses in Egypt, as well as a hospital, multiple orphanages, and over 100 schools. And that's all the time we have for this edition of Vatican and World News. As we mentioned earlier, Pope Francis is expected to preside at the Palm Sunday Mass this weekend. We do invite you to join Vatican Media for our live coverage of that event. Also, don't forget to catch our latest updates on our Facebook page, Twitter feed, and Instagram account, as well as our Vatican News web portal. Many thanks go to our sound engineers in studio in the Vatican. I'm Christopher Wells.